you can't be afraid of failing. I did not do it right all the time. I failed. But I talk about failing forward versus backwards. You fail backwards, you beat yourself up. You fail forward, you dust yourself off, you realize what you learn, and you move forward. The trick is, when you fail, don't repeat the same failure, because then you're not learning.
This is Revenue Makers, the podcast by Sixth Sense, investigating successful revenue strategies that pushed companies ahead.
Adam, how many times have you been told no?
Today? Or just in general?
In general.
A good amount. A good amount. And I don't always react so well. So sometimes I do and sometimes I don't.
It's an interesting question because today's guest is Karen Baumer. She is Chief Commercial Officer of ABB. And she's had a fascinating career, right? She spanned product management. She's an engineer by training. She's done product marketing and now runs the whole thing. And this conversation is really an exercise in taking control of your career and being able to hear the no's, but always failing forward and learning from it.
We talked about reinvention a bit as well. And if you look at her career progression, it's wild. But then we got into it, it's like, it's so, we used the word organic, but it really was. And like, I think it's just sort of thinking about when you're sitting in a seat somewhere and you say, you know what, I want to do something different, or I want to evolve. Like, the only person that's going to make that happen is you. And there's some really great tidbits of information in here of her talking about that. So absolutely worth it. Great conversation. Great time to listen. Karen, thanks so much for joining us. So I think this is going to be a very different conversation for us today. And we really wanted to hone in on reinvention in someone's career, because your path is so interesting and different. And you've talked about this sort of third, we call it a third episode, maybe, or a third chapter. But could you talk, just kind of start from the beginning and talk a little bit about your background and kind of where things have been going for you?
Sure, I'm happy to. So I actually started my career as an engineer and really thought that that was my passion. And in a way, it still is. But I decided several years into an engineering start that I wanted to stay technical. And so I took a journey through many technical roles in product management, project development, solution development. And then the light bulb went off that I wanted to take all that I knew about technology and actually talk to the customer. And then that led to a multi-year focused on marketing and really being at the pivotal point of marketing where you put the customer at the heart of everything. And those two chapters, the technology chapter and the marketing chapter, led me to my third chapter, which is where I am today, which is really a big commercial role that pulls everything from product development and strategy and marketing and all of the operational elements that go into making those customer facing critical functions a positive experience for the company and for the customer into reality, now in my third chapter of commercial operations.
Would you say, Karen, that you had to seek out these shifts in your career, or opportunities presented themselves and all you had to do was say yes? Like, for folks who are looking for this well-rounded experience with each sort of next step in the ladder, building on what you've done before, how did you approach those opportunities and how did you capitalize on them?
So the approach comes from within. You have to take stock of your professional career every now and again, and actually do the simple exercise of writing down what you're doing, how you got there, and where you want to go. And in that, in the where you want to go, once you feel like it represents who you are, you got to develop a plan and you have to go make that plan work. Occasionally, and I know one very distinct moment in my career, the opportunity presented itself and I said yes. But all the other situations, it's for the most part, I drove it. So I believe you own your own career. Many specialists, consultants, analysts out there will tell you the same thing. I do think it's up to the company you work for to acknowledge loyalty, but you got to look out for yourself. So I talked about moving from technology into marketing, my kind of bridge to get there was product management. I was designing products. I was curious, an innate curiosity of how customers were using the products that I designed. I talked to my fellow engineers. They had no interest. They just wanted the next thing to work on. And I still wanted to know if the design I worked on worked for the customer. So my bridge became product management. And once I was introduced to the customer directly, I said, I have to do this. And I thought of two ways. I could go into sales or I could go into marketing. I chose marketing. I wasn't educated in marketing. There's a lot of decision or talk. Is marketing the same as advertising? Is it the same as communications? And actually, marketing is a science. And from Sixth Sense, you know, there's data that supports it. But that activity led to direct interaction with customers. And then when I decided to say, okay, I don't want to retire as a marketeer, but what can I do next in this chapter? It was actually pulling the entire commercial front end together to actually place the customer at the heart of everything the company does and making sure that we're developing products that meet their needs versus just developing products because the technology is there. But that's a really long answer to say I had to drive it. And part of driving it is being aware that you can apply for a job and you might not get it, but you can't walk away and say, oh, they didn't select me. I'm not going to try again, which I think happens often. It's actually when you get the phone call of you were not selected to ask the question, why? And 9 times out of 10, the hiring manager will tell you, and then you just lock that in the back of your brain and say, okay, if I want this again in the future, I need to work on X, Y, and Z.
The whole thing actually sounds completely organic now to think about, right? It's like building product, wanting to know about product and how it's being used, people, managing how the products are, or what products are going to be made. It's just like looking at that now, that actually just seems such an unusual path, but it just makes sense actually, because it's like you go from devising these things, building them, figuring out how they're being used. You said all the engineers around you, a lot of them didn't care about how it was being used, why it was being used. Do you think for you personally, that was just an innate curiosity about just, I'm building this thing. The thing is not the most important thing, but actually how it's being used. You think that's what differed you from the group, your peer groups around you that were just like, I just want to build stuff and leave me alone?
I think it's a strong element. I am curious. I think we've all been in professional careers long enough to have either some sort of personality test or innovation test or an assessment. Curiosity always comes up. But I actually think it's also about the entire life cycle of something, because there's also an awareness of when to sunset something and start the whole innovation cycle over. And I love the way you said it sounds organic. It took you saying it at this very moment for me to realize that as well, but perhaps that is it. But I've noticed in my career, there are many people who excel at what they do, and I call them masters of their domain. But when you work for a very large company, you kind of have to lift your head up to see how it all comes together in order to make sure everything, I say, is working in harmony. But I will say this organic thing sounds very true. But in the middle of all this, I also changed industries. And I think that that is just my innate sense to always learn. And it took someone I worked with about 12 or 13 years ago to say, hey, Karen, you're like a sponge. You always are learning more and taking in more. And I consider that a compliment, because if you don't continue to learn, you're not going to know what opportunities are out there. And that's how I learned about intent data, is like, how am I getting targeted? What can B2B do? It's just that insatiable kind of curiosity to learn.
You know, you spoke about being self-motivated, being curious, taking ownership of your career. But you're so gracious because you recently posted an article on LinkedIn talking about the myth of the self-made man. And so while you spoke about the need to really own your own path, you recognize the breadth of all the people around you and how that's influencing how you get to that next level. Can you talk a little bit about the article? It was fantastic.
Well, thank you. So I was inspired from the original article, The Myth of the Self-Made Man, was actually written by someone in my network on LinkedIn. And I, first of all, read that as the baseline. That's fantastic. And it talks about growing up in the 70s and 80s and just the fact that it was the self-made man versus the person just kind of identifies how far we've come in our society. And then the portion that I wrote was actually, yeah, I didn't do it by myself, man or woman. No one can do it by themselves. And so it could be viewed as paying it forward. It could be viewed as putting your faith in someone. But I'm keenly aware from like my late teens, early 20s, knowing I wouldn't be where I am now if someone didn't help me. And I don't have an entourage, but I'm also not self-made. And I gave an example of being in college and the degree I was in didn't have graduate students that particular year, but there was a lab that needed a TA and my major needed a class president. And I was a junior and I had a professor that said, we're not waiting till next year and we're not waiting for you to be nominated. The staff has said, this is what you need to do. And I did it. And that was like my first taste of leadership. It was governed. We had rules, like everything a college environment would have. But it was someone putting their faith in me and giving me a chance. And it was a safe environment. I could have failed and still been a winner, but I didn't fail. And you have to get your first job. And I had a manager who took a risk on me. And he took a risk on me as a female mechanical engineer. I was the first female ever hired, the only female in a group of 230 men. People are saying he took a risk on me. Well, I took a risk on myself going into an environment like that. So the article is great. And then my additions of what it means, I think, just brought it into reality. No one can progress themselves, but you have to know when you've done well, and you have to take initiative to keep moving forward if that's what you want to do.
So that initiative, did you find like that would come in moments of curiosity where like you're in the engineering world and when you're just that an interest in the customer? Can you point to very specific moments or situations that sort of spark that, okay, now it's really time to take it to the next level, to make that transition?
Yes. And the most memorable experience were experiences. And after about the fifth time, my light bulb clicked. I was being called in as the subject matter engineer to fix things at customer sites that were not working in the context of how they were sold. I was working on high-speed labeling equipment. The manufacturer said it was the labeler equipment fault. The labeler equipment said it was the fault of the manufacturer. And then they both said it was the fault of the company I work for. So I was going in and fixing problems. And after about the fifth time, I'm like, this trip should have never occurred. Why aren't we producing something flawlessly the first time? And then no one has any downtime. No one's pointing fingers. It works the first time. And it works the way the customer wants. And that was kind of my epiphany. I certainly didn't mind traveling. I was young. I thought it was adventurous. And I usually got sit on the trips because someone else didn't want to get on a plane. But instead of saying, oh, I'm the lowest person on the totem pole, I took it as an opportunity to learn. And then once that learning came to be, I'm like, we're designing the whole thing wrong. Our relationship with the manufacturer is wrong. How can we fix this?
I love that. And I find the best folks on any team are the ones that will not hold themselves to the box, maybe that is the definition of the role, and look to areas beyond it. Karen, you have a huge team that reports to you. How do you cultivate similar characteristics? How do you cultivate talent in the way that you yourself developed your curiosity and then acted on it?
Yeah. I start with what I call goal congruity. If we're all working for the same ultimate goal, there are multiple paths to get there. And so I have 7 different functions that report to me. I have functional leaders who are great, but how does that all connect into what my company wants to deliver? So I'm a huge believer in team meetings, touch base for 45 to 60 minutes once a week. And I'm a believer in one-on-one conversations with my direct staff. And so these one-on-one conversations are not me with an agenda. This is you coming to me. What do you want to share? What do you need support on? Are there any escalation? And so that is kind of the basic of my management style. When it comes to recruiting, I mean, you have to have tough interviews, whether you're hiring internal or external candidates. And I say over and over, your resume is what got you the interview. The interview is what gets you the job. So if anybody out there ends up interviewing with me, it's not an easy interview process, but there are elements of soft skills I look to harness, because your hard skills should be on your resume.
You said 7 functions now reporting into you. And I would imagine looking back at every single role before got you to that point. So all 7 functions are, can you just go through them?
Ah, perfect. Strategy and M&A, product and technology management, service, technical solution management, pricing, commercial excellence, and marketing. So I don't run any internal operations. So think finance, health and safety, contract management. I'm not running a sales team, but every element that's commercially facing, externally facing, that's an enabler to what the sales team needs to do. You have to have the right strategy to deliver the right products, to be serviced with a technical mind. It has to be priced properly. It has to be marketed and story told properly. And all of that comes together with commercial excellence.
It's kind of like almost a masterclass in just like in progression here, because it's like, yeah, you reinvented yourself. It's just impressive to see just like these blocks of like what's seemingly so different just coming together. I guess my question now is, what would be your advice? You know, we talked about like being curious and talked about just the asking questions and learning. Maybe there's somebody out there right now who's sitting in our audience, could be somebody sitting in marketing, sitting in sales. Like you mentioned multiple times, it was like there were some scary times of like and just having to really take risks and all that. How do you get somebody to say, you know what, if it's in your head, go do it? Start to like to get off that sort of like fear or trepidation, or any advice on that?
You can't be afraid of the no. You will be told no. But if you never ask, you don't know if it's a no or a yes. And if it's a no, find out why. And then pivot to that. Second thing, you can't be afraid of failing. A lot of what I've done has been kind of new, leading the way, progressive processes or development or ideation. I did not do it right all the time. I did not lead teams to do it right all the time. I failed. But I talk about failing forward versus backwards. You fail backwards, you beat yourself up and you're kind of shy about moving forward. You fail forward, yeah, you dust yourself off, you realize what you learn and you move forward. The trick is when you fail, don't repeat the same failure, because then you're not learning.
I just love that, you know, outside of the grit and the curiosity, what you've said again and again, no matter what the role is, keeping this customer at the center of everything. And that's a pretty great, you know, North Star to be working towards. Karen, We ask every guest a question at the end of the episode. What is the most ridiculous thing you've been asked to do in your career?
Good or bad?
I wish I could think of an example of either. A bad one that comes to mind is in recent years, as I was at an event in Europe, and it was a global event. We had given swag to our customers, and a lot of them had carry-on only and couldn't take the swag. And I was asked to mail things to the customer. And I'm thinking, how did I get to be a senior director in my life? And I'm still mailing swag. But it happens. And maybe that's the kind of a message is no matter how high you get in the organization, you sometimes have to roll your shirt sleeves up and just go do it. It happens. Roll with it.
Well, Karen, thanks so much. This was a great conversation. I think it's... I actually started off thinking, wow, all these different random things. Now I'm like, nah, this was all part of the Karen Bomber master plan. There was a plan.
Well, we'll see. Who knows what's next? But where I am now, I didn't sit down at 23 years old and say, this is where I'm going to be. It just kind of happened organically. And my direction changed over the course of the years. And it comes with the whole, you know, learning and curiosity.
Well, really appreciate your time. And it was a lot of some great inspiration, even just some really good ideas on how to sort of think through your career on it, even on a day to day. So thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Revenue Makers.
Do you have a revenue project you were asked to execute that had wild success? Share your story with us at sixthsense.com/revenue. And we might just ask you to come on the show. And if you don't want to miss the next episode, be sure to follow along on your favorite podcast app.